Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the new Horse and Plow Huddle, presented by Destination Kohler. Tonight, our special guest is Green Bay wide receiver Devontae Adams.
Are you kidding me? Devontae Adams!
Now, live from the Horse and Plow in the American Club, Kohler, Wisconsin, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Good evening and welcome. We are broadcasting live. We are at the Horse and Plow. We are at the American Club. We are in Kohler, Wisconsin. We just keep going from one beautiful place to the next. I'm Bill Michaels alongside Gary Ellerson, my partner for the Green and Gold postgame show and also the former Packer and Badger running back. We are awaiting the arrival of Devontae Adams, who I am told is only minutes away. So he's going to be joining us here for a couple of minutes. And he's only going to be about 10, 15 minutes. He's got some commitments tonight, but that's okay because Gary and I do this for a living, and God knows we got enough hot air in us to let us go a couple of hours if we have to. So now that you've had a chance to digest all of this, Gary, you know, we talked about this last night on the postgame show. When I talk about going from one place to another, by the way, you go from the Sheraton Hotel, the Grand Hotel down in Chicago, where they treat us like kings, and then you come up here and you're treated like an even bigger king, which is a fantastic place at the American Club. But the win yesterday meant a lot of things, I think, to a lot of people. I mean, one, if you're a Packers fan, you got to win and you stayed kept pace with the Vikings. But I think more so for the defense, as Mike Daniels had said, he got tired of hearing people tell him they suck. Yeah. So they came out and played well. They got off the field on third down, five sacks yesterday. Mm-hmm. They got the job done. But for Brett Hundley, not only did he play well, but he had perfect quarterback rating in the fourth quarter when it mattered, and he did it nicked up with a hamstring injury.
Right.
All the things you're looking for out of a leader. I think that was a big game on a lot of levels.
No, it really was, Bill, and you're right. You talk about the evolution of where we've been and where we are right now. You talk about where we were with Sheraton. We did a postgame show directly after the Packers won that game in Chicago. We come home, we get up in the next morning, we do our shows, we go on the air, and then we drive down here. Here's what I've heard for the most part out of Packer fans. It may not be you guys here at American Club, but you know what I've been hearing from Packer fans? The Bears are not very good. They should have won the game.
Yeah, it was a win over the Bears.
Yeah, we got a lot of chatter like that on our radio show today. And I think it's, for me, very disappointing because for the most part beforehand, we were getting that McCarthy couldn't win a game without Rodgers.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they go to Chicago. There are underdog in Chicago. Chicago, I think, at that particular time, Bill, had maybe the fifth or sixth rated defense in the NFL. And a lot of people wanted to see more.
Over the last 5 weeks, they had one of the top defenses in the entire National Football
League. And people wanted to see more out of Huntley. So Huntley actually gives you more against one of the top defense in the NFL. I got people tweeting at me. Of course, you can tweet at me at Gary Ellerson if you like. Shameless plug. I got people tweeting at me halftime of the game is that we should see Callahan. You're killing me, people.
You know what?
Part of that is
there's this level of play that's become the expectation.
Sure.
If anybody doesn't live up to the Hall of Fame quarterback, suddenly they're not capable of being there, so you got to go with the next guy.
Sure, and listen, most people forget when Aaron Rodgers took over as quarterback, had an whole offseason, to be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. They won six games. They were 6-10. So I don't know how people expect for this young man to come here and win all these games at this particular time. So to me, I think he's got to take time. He's got to get to the offense. He's got to get used to the receivers, running back, everything that needs to take place within that Packer organization, within that offense, to get on the right track.
Just to get the win, I think, is probably the number one thing in many minds, just for the fact that, and we'll ask Devontae Adams, who is now sitting down with us and throwing on a headset, and want to say hi and welcome.
Thank you.
How you doing?
Good to be here.
Get them all wired up.
Am I good?
There we go.
All right.
You good now?
Yeah, I feel like Britney Spears, man.
Welcome, man. Glad to have
you. Song, or what, you got one?
I'm glad to be here. What's that?
You got a Britney Spears song? You got
one? No, I haven't got no Britney Spears. I'm sorry.
Okay, good.
Okay. We didn't want to do a Britney Spears tune. I didn't think we were going to turn into that tonight. Gary and I are sitting here talking about the win yesterday, and a lot of minds, just first and foremost, the number one thing was to get the win. So let's talk about the locker room after you guys got a win. There was a couple of guys who had to gut it out, including Brett Hundley, who found you a couple of big plays yesterday. So let's talk about what it meant to get the win.
I mean, it was huge. It was pretty electric in the locker room after the game. It was something that we obviously knew we could do, and we should have won that game. So it was about just executing, putting it together, and Brett played a hell of a game. So I was excited for him.
Right. And so let's talk about a little bit about – so Brett comes in. He's a quarterback. He's your guy. But can you bring us through – How it takes Brett then to get to know you, to get to know Jordy, to get to know Randall, really to get to know those receivers, because I'm sure he's playing scout team and he's not with you guys a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah.
How does that take time to work?
Well, I mean, you saw it firsthand with this game. We connected on a lot more things, and you know, we had a lot of elements, rain, the surface, obviously Soldier Field is always really slippery.
Awful.
And you know, we did a good job with connecting, just because I think since Minnesota, when A-Rod was hurt, we got a few extra moments to get some reps in and work the one-on-ones and kind of individual cuts, and I think that's what helped us out most.
When we were talking earlier about targets, and we look at targets overall, and we say, okay, when you look at Devontae Adams, 23 targets since Brett Hundley has become the starter. Jordy gets 15, Randall gets 14. Okay, but when people look at it and say, well, he's your favorite target, it depends on a lot of things. I mean, one, you could be open. Two, it could be just the coverage. Three, it could be Jordy's going to draw the number one a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So when you look at that and you hear people say, well, Devontae's the favorite guy. You know, I mean, even Brett Hundley said, look, he's a guy I'm looking for.
Yeah.
There's just a relationship there, right? It doesn't make it right or wrong, good or bad. Whatever's working, work, right?
Yeah, you got to stick to what works. So I think me and Brett have kind of got on the same page over the past couple of weeks, kind of figuring out, learning each other's mannerisms out there, just so he can know, you know, just to let it fly, and me to know when, you know, kind of what he's thinking on different plays. So I feel like we've connected, and we've kind of put a little bit of extra time outside of the stadium to try to figure some things out, and I think that's helped us on the field.
Are you to the point where you can kind of look at each other and know?
I wouldn't say that, because that's the type of stuff me and 12 do at this point, because of, you know, the reps and the years of, you know, working that, the communication and kind of nonverbal things. But it can definitely get there, and I see it. We're definitely taking steps in the right direction.
But I also have seen in this game, which I didn't see previous games, that maybe it's a run play, but he's hitting you over in that little hitch over in the corner,
yeah,
which I know 12 does that a lot. I saw that a lot in this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we work on every week. So, you know, every practice really is our run solution. If we get the look we want, he'll just spit it out over there to me. And
There you go.
Good.
There you go. I'm ready. Yeah, but he'll get the look that he wants. He'll spit it out, and then, you know, it's sometimes we'll get four, sometimes it'll spring for 25. So it's just kind of up to me to break a tackle and get loose.
So when you're talking about kind of breaking things loose and getting open and working, because we talk so much about coverages and if guys are or aren't open. Yesterday, that pass, the back shoulder pass that he threw, I mean, he could have had it maybe down just a little bit tight, but it was like almost the perfect pass. It was everybody kept wanting to say Rodgers-esque, but
yeah,
it was a hell of a throw.
It was a great throw. That's not an easy throw at all. You know, obviously great by him to keep the play alive and rolling out. That was Rodgers-esque in itself. So, for him to keep his eyes downfield, not just run the ball, you know, that's something that you see with older quarterbacks. And, you know, he's a young guy in this league. So, you know, I'm real excited for him down the road.
What do you look at when you guys work together? Is there something specific that he needs to do for you? Because everybody's got their individual nuances. You talk about working outside of the building. Is it just film study, or is it, hey, I like it high and tight, or I like it out here, out in front of me, where
yeah,
you can, and then he knows that you can maybe go down and get a ball or something like that. Are there things like that that you guys work on, or is it just kind of being on the same page with what the coverages are?
Well, I think it kind of, that plays into it. The coverage thing plays into it. So, you know, if I have a certain trail coverage or whatever, he knows that based on the coverage and the shell of the defense that the ball needs to be this way because of the leverage I'm going to get from the corner. So, you know, it's just a thing with him kind of getting used to seeing certain defenses and how, you know, how fast defenses move and change pre-snap to post-snap and all those type of things.
You know, Bill talked about the pass in the end zone, which is Rodgers-esque. But I think the one on the sideline that he dropped that dime on the right hand.
Yeah.
I don't even think you moved your arm.
I didn't. Well, he was holding this one down.
Right.
So that's why I used one.
Right.
But yeah, that was a bomb. It was 3rd and 10. It's a crucial moment in the game. So yeah, big ups to him for a throw like that.
Have you seen? So this guy's been here for 3 years.
Yeah.
Brett Huntley. Have you seen him grow here within the last 3 games?
Absolutely. I mean, just his poise and just the way he commands the huddle in itself is amazing to see from a young guy. And, you know, especially there's a lot of veterans in that huddle. You look around, you see Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Dave Bakhtiari, you know, Lane Taylor, and, you know, everybody for the most part is other than 33 in there. We got a lot of years in that huddle, and he's one of the youngest guys. So for him to command that huddle and have fine attention to details is going to carry him a long way in this league.
Yesterday when he was banged up, we could tell. Gary and I looked at each other at one point and said, he looks like he's hurt.
Yeah.
He looks like something's going on. I'm not saying that you have to do this, but the fact that he picks up the first down, he's running with a bad hamstring, he made the throw to you, made the deep throw to you, kind of sealed that game away. Mm-hmm. When you're looking for guys to step up and become leaders, and it may not be you, you're a younger guy, but guys that have been in that huddle for like Jordy, like Randall, like yeah. Bakhtiari, and those guys that have been around a while, that means a lot to them, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it means a lot to me. You can say, I mean, this is my 4th year in the league, you know, and it's –
You're a veteran, boss.
Yeah, I'm a veteran in this game now at this point. So
believe it or not, after 4 years, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's amazing.
That means he's eligible for that pension too after 4 years.
After three.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But I mean, it's kind of a thing. The way the culture of the Green Bay Packers is, when you come in, as long as you're about ball and you're about your business, everybody's a leader. So it doesn't matter who is, you know, you don't have to be Jordy Nelson, you can be this guy. As long as you're working hard and you have that common goal and focus, then I think that's when guys look up to you.
Is his Brett Hundley, because we know the cerebral side of Aaron.
Yeah.
Has he, I don't want to say picked up on a lot of that, but does he emulate that? Does he mimic that? Does he try to be that because of the way Aaron is?
Him wanting to be like him, that's a better question for him, but I would say that it's definitely good that he is picking up on the things that he's doing, and he definitely, from what it looks like, he should want to be like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you look at the just who he is in general, and then you look at the fine attention to detail, you know, just those acute things that different quarterbacks that separate the good from the great, really.
So, and I don't know, Devontae, because it's kind of weird sometimes, because you watch a guy in front of you like Aaron Rodgers, or you take yourself that throw that he made to you in the end zone.
Yeah.
I don't know if he know that he could actually do that until he did it. I mean, because is there something in the game that you did, you like, damn.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
I did that.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Right?
Sometimes it's that I think my college coach told me it's the I've arrived moment.
Right.
You always have that moment where I belong here. You know, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing and doing it at a high level. And I think a throw like that is good for his confidence.
Yeah.
What was your moment?
My moment was probably my first touchdown, which was in preseason. So my first preseason touchdown against the Chiefs, I just kind of, you know, I felt comfortable in the end zone when I got in, and Lambeau leaped and kind of got the whole deal complete. So I felt like, you know, I felt it was a real warm welcome from the fans and everybody, and, you know, everyone was real receptive of it on social media. So I felt like that was my moment.
Yeah. It's just me, but I think, was it your rookie year against the Cowboys?
That was a staple on it.
You ate them all.
That was a staple. My best game before that was a Patriots game,
right.
So I would say that would be my kind of coming out party. With, mm-hmm. That was what that was. But of course the player is always gonna say I found out a little earlier than everybody else. So you know, preseason for me, maybe not for you guys.
No, it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
But that Cowboys game, bro, you ate them up because
well,
it's the Cowboys,
yeah.
Right? It's always the Cowboys, Packers. You go back to the Ice Bowl, you do all that crap. You know,
yep.
Most Packer fans always think about Cowboys, Packers, and when you showed up on that one, that was.
Yeah, Cowboys don't like me very much.
No, they don't.
No, you've had your day with them. They're, you know, hey, when you rack up yardage and numbers and catches, and you're looking across at Dez Bryant, who's not having nearly as success.
Yeah.
You know, call it a day. Throw that one on the rack. That pelt is there, baby.
No doubt.
So I want to talk to you guys, and we'll get away from the offense for a minute. Your defense. Mike Daniels had some strong things to say about things that were being said outside. The outside noise about he got tired of listening to people telling him how they suck, so
yeah.
They wanted to step up yesterday. Do you notice? You guys are all in the same locker room together, but you guys, short of meeting as a team once, it's pretty much you guys segregate.
Yeah.
So that being said, what have you noticed out of your defense? Because yesterday the defense seemed to have a little more pep in its step.
Yeah, just a sense of urgency. I think that they've, they blocked out the outside noise, but you hear a lot of it. So, it's good for your pride. It's good for you to hear that and say, I got to step up, because if this is the way people are thinking of me, then maybe, the people in the building are as well. But, they stepped up and did what they had to do, and I'm real proud of them.
Well, you're missing a big guy. To get a win like that is great, but you don't have Morgan Burnett. I think Morgan Burnett is a big key to what you guys are doing defensively.
Absolutely.
You don't have him, he goes down.
Mm-hmm.
You've got you've got a rookie in there, Josh Jones. He's got to step up and get it done.
Yeah, he's been doing a good job. He's a great tackler. I think that he's a guy that's going to mature in this league, and he's from what it looks like to me, it's kind of like Brett to A-Rod is kind of how, he is with Morgan. He kind of follows in his footsteps, kind of looking what Ha-Ha does, emulating those things, and just learning how to be a pro.
You want to give him that wide receiver's lineage?
As far as?
From Jennings to, or from Driver to?
Driver to Greg.
Okay.
Greg to J.J.?
Okay.
J.J. Jordy.
Okay.
Jordy Cobb.
Yeah.
Cobb Tay. That's it.
Love it.
Just running through it.
Love it.
When you go against those guys, and not that you go against the ones all the time, but when you go against those guys, have you noticed, because they've been pretty much beat up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been a beat up group.
Yeah.
Do you notice when some of those guys, those leaders, aren't on that field, when that knowledge isn't there, when that just kind of feel isn't there? Because it really does. Once you get out of your head out of the book and you get the feel for the game, it becomes a whole different game, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing for me was, just kind of mastering the playbook and just going to where you don't have to really think about anything. You can just go out and play fast, and that's the biggest thing in the league is just playing fast, not worrying about assignments. I know if I line up, I'm going to see this. Okay, right here, it's one high. I got this route. If it rotates too high, I'm playing fast. I'm playing with my mind, and that's really the biggest thing going from college to the league for me was getting that mental preparation.
I know that every receiver knows they can go get one. I mean, but yesterday, how big was it not only to get that touchdown pass, but that was really, from what we've seen out of Brett Hundley, it's been a lot of short passes. Get into a rhythm. Get comfortable. Don't take any risks.
Yeah.
To get that big one finally over the top and then to have you come down with it the way you did.
Yeah.
And even to get Tom Brenneman excited, which not much excites Tom Brenneman. But even to get Tom excited, what did that mean when you got back to the huddle? To say, okay, we finally hit that. We can do this now.
Man, it's one of the most gratifying things in the world, I'm telling you. It's just like the Dallas game, catching the game winner on them from Aaron, me coming back after the play before that, not coming down with it, telling him throw it again. And coming down, I mean, it's the best feeling in the world, because then that's what really builds the trust. It's not saying, hey, next time I'll run it better or I'll do this or I'll catch the ball, but just doing it and showing the action, because then your quarterback doesn't think. He just said, let me get over to him and let him do what he does.
I got to ask you about that play in Dallas, because the first one you don't come down with.
Yeah.
What did it mean when you went back to the huddle? Because I know Aaron's, I don't know what his expression is, but I know he's thinking we let one get away.
Yeah.
But for you to go back and go, again, and for him to go, all right. I mean, was it like, all right, you better catch it, or I'm going to run you out of town, or was it all right, you better catch it, or was it like, I got you?
It was more the nonverbals again. I came back, and, the ball, I kind of got outside a little too far, and it was hard for him to put the ball, so the ball ended up inside, and I tried to just make sure he didn't pick it off. And then when I'm coming back, and I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, throw it again. Run that back. We need to do it again, and I'm going to come down with it. And he's looking at me, and I'm saying, throw it again. So he calls it, and I line up, and he throws the ball right on time and get it done.
Yeah. What did he say to you after that?
I gave him that look. I came back, and I told you. And that's the type of stuff that builds it to where next time I can say that, and then, he doesn't think about it.
Yeah.
And so which leads you into Huntley. When does all that take place with Huntley, when you guys can make that connection and make that work?
Well,
level.
Over the course of time, it takes time because, me and 12, we got a really good relationship and camaraderie right now, but I think the more we continue to work on it, it can only, go higher and higher. So I think that's what will happen with Brett, the more we get reps in practice and work on it.
Because a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, most Packer fans, and I'm just going to bring, they look at Minnesota and they go from Bridgewater to Bradford to Case Keenum, and which is fine, but none of those guys are Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's tough to go from Rodgers to Huntley in that there's a big difference between the two.
Yeah.
And I think it's tougher for Huntley to come in to follow a guy like Rodgers because Guy's a Hall of Famer, man. First ballot.
It's got to be. I mean, it's got to be tough. Anybody. It doesn't matter who was behind him. I mean, you just playing behind a guy like 12 is going to be, you know, a tall task for you to come in and kind of fill those shoes. But, you know, Brett, like I said, he has all for 3 years now worked behind him. He sees how he does it and how he programs. And, you know, he just kind of emulates that. And he's done a good job with putting it on display and using his, you know, kind of set of – talent to
right.
work and vibe with us as the White House.
How long we got him, Bill?
Well, we got him like another minute. I got one more question.
All right. Okay. If you don't ask it, I'm going to ask it.
No, you go ahead.
You got to tell me about Martellus Bennett, man. I ain't, you know, hell, we got to talk about the elephant in the room, man. I like him a lot, you know, and you probably don't know this because my son works for the Chicago Bears, and so he's in that PR department. And so he's talking about Martellus. I've never seen anything like that happen before in my life where a guy can get out of that, leave there, go and actually play for another team yesterday.
Yeah.
But I need a surgery. I'm hurt. Come on, man.
It's a sticky situation. I still haven't figured it all the way out myself. But, it's really hard to really know exactly what's going on with it. But I've heard this and I've heard that. I've heard his side of the story, and I've heard, you know, obviously what the Packers have said.
From your own experience, because he went after Doc McKenzie and everybody.
Yeah,
right.
I'm only asking from your perspective, because you have been a guy that has gotten injured in your career.
Yeah.
When the Packers treat you, have you ever felt
no.
like you have been pressured?
I've never felt that way.
Like the care about your health and well-being is not prevalent.
It's been the complete opposite. If anything... It's, you know, if I go in there with my ankle, obviously everybody knows about the ankle, going into the, I can't remember what game it was last year, the playoff game.
Right.
When he barely wanted me to play in the NFC Championship game with a bum ankle. So, you know, I can't really see that happening that way, but, you know, different people, I don't want to call people liars.
Right.
But, you know, it's definitely a sticky situation with that because I don't think anyone on the team can relate to that, what he said.
Right.
But, you know, maybe he was made feel a different way, and he kind of was confused, maybe. But yeah, I'm not too sure about that.
That's okay.
But you had to deal with that all week long, though, Devontae. I mean, that permeated through the locker room all week long, and you got to go to Chicago to get a win.
Well, we did a good job with blocking it out, making sure we kept everything, keep the main thing the main thing, and that definitely wasn't the main thing for us. We got to continue to move on. We got great tight ends in there, Richard Rodgers, and obviously Lance has been doing a good job too. So we got them, and we're rolling, and we're feeling good right now.
I know he's got to run. Ladies and gentlemen, Devontae Adams joining us up here at the table. It is the Horse and Plow Huddle, and it's brought to you by our great friends here at Destination Kohler, Bell and Health, and Signature Limousine, who got him down here quick and now has to get you down to Milwaukee, right?
Yes, sir.
He's got to go to Milwaukee. Give him another round of applause. We're going to go
ahead
and take a quick
Appreciate
break. We'll
you.
Be back right after this. Welcome back. It's a Horse and Plow Huddle, and you can find us. We're here at Kohler, at the Horse and Plow in Lodge Kohler, which is a fantastic place. And hopefully you're enjoying the program. Gary Ellerson alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. And it was a pleasure to have Devontae Adams here and pick his brain a little bit and to get a sense as to where he's at as this team gets a win yesterday. And they knock off the Chicago Bears in fine fashion down at Soldier Field, a place that has not been the easiest of places to play. At times, but they've been able to win down there pretty consistently as Devontae has to take off and head back down to Milwaukee for an appearance there. 23-16, the Packers get a win. They go to 5-4 in the season. They're trying to keep pace with the Minnesota Vikings, who are sitting atop the division at 7-2. The Detroit Lions got a win yesterday as well, which also means they, too, are now 5-4 as they beat the Browns 38-24 in that contest. And, Gary, I found it interesting to listen to him to where he almost has that symbiotic relationship. He talks about 12 and about the ability to kind of be on that same mental level where they're gaining that very quickly with Brett Hundley. And you and I kept talking about what we want to see, and I think what we wanted to see, we kept saying, was just give me progression.
Right.
He's not going to be a Hall of Famer by the end of the season, but give me progression. We have not been disappointed because each week we've seen progression.
We really have, Bill, and I think, you know, one thing I think Packer fans need to understand, and they don't, they see these other guys, these other quarterbacks out there, when they go down, they're plug-and-play quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers is not a plug-and-play quarterback. It takes a lot. I think, you know, it goes into, you know, really the relationship that Rodgers has inside that locker room that Rodgers has. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, I played with a guy by the name of James Lofton, and we knew that if we didn't have James, it's going to be tough for us to win some games because he had that kind of weight on the game. When you're missing a guy like that, it's tough for that next guy to come in. He's never really going to be at that level. I mean, it's just tough. I should say never, because Rodgers did get at that level after Brett Favre left, but it took some time. And you know, he's got to learn the playbook. He's got to get with the receivers. They got to get on the same level. And it takes time for all that stuff to happen. And the Packer fans, I think they've got to be a little bit more patient. I know Mike McCarthy took a lot of heat, you know. The people on the national level were talking about, well, this is the 30th ranked team without Aaron Rodgers. Well, the team is built around Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
The 30th ranked team, I kind of disagree with. There's some talent. But when you lose a guy like that, it's tough to come back and then play and try to go win. It's a morale low that now you got to come back and try to make that happen. I don't think fans understand how that process works.
Yeah, there's some people that expected or looked at the play of not Devontae Adams, who was just here. We looked at the play of Brett Hundley, and they said,
right.
Well, he can't hit that throw.
Right.
Well, it takes time to hit that throw.
It takes time to hit that throw.
You and I talked about this after the first game. We saw him against New Orleans, and I'd said, and I was tweeting this out, I said, he's slow. He's that much of a second not to throw the football. He's waiting for something to open up. That throw he threw to Devontae Adams in the end zone, he threw it to a space.
Right.
He saw the corner. There was you could almost draw it on the picture, on a screen, and say, here's a triangle. This is what he has to put it in for that play to work, and then let Devontae go get it, as opposed to Devontae waiting for it and then throwing the football. That's the difference. That's the progression we've seen from him from that game against New Orleans to the game he played yesterday.
Bill, I'm going to tell you this. Every guy that has played, like, in high school, college, then they go in and play pro, they do something that surprised themselves. They go, damn, I didn't know I can do that.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they come back, and then they can repeat it and do it again. The great ones can make that happen on more of a frequent basis. But you do something when you're young, and you just kind of react. And the whole play, and I guarantee you the whole play that we're talking about with Huntley was a reaction. He rolls out, it breaks down, I got to throw. He just let it go. And so you build your confidence off those things that you know you can do. A lot of this stuff, and I hate to bring religion into it, but a lot of this stuff is God-given ability. And it's almost like reaction, and you can't coach it. There's no repetition for it. You just go out, you do it, and your coach understands that you can make that play. They kind of try to put you in a position to make those kind of plays if they can.
If you want to chime in and talk about this, if you're listening elsewhere around the state, you can. Gary and I would be happy to take a phone call, 855-830-8648. I want to go back to division. The Minnesota Vikings sitting on top. And I said this back when Aaron Rodgers went down. We had people screaming that how can you lose to Case Keenum? Look at his numbers.
Yeah.
He has done a marvelous job of guiding that team. Teddy Bridgewater goes down. Sam Bradford goes down. Bridgewater's now ready to come back. And Case Keenum doesn't want to give that job up. He has done a fantastic job of keeping that team afloat. The difference is he can take some chances and do some things outside of the norm because that defense is so good.
What I don't know, they gave up 30 points yesterday, I think. Did they give up 30 points?
I believe they did.
For the first time in a minute.
Yeah, in a long time.
So
they gave up 30. Yeah, they gave up 30 to the Redskins.
They've been playing very well. I mean, their defense is really what leads them, the Minnesota Vikings. So they have a bad game, and then Case Keenum comes in, and he does what he needs to do to get a win, so which is great for them, but which is okay because at some point you're going to have a quarterback controversy. At some point, Bridgewater's going to be ready to come back. At some point, they're going to have to make a decision whether to sit Bridgewater for the rest of the year and Case Keenum is going to be the guy. Listen, Bill, I don't even think that Minnesota is the best team in the division. I think it's Detroit. But Detroit right now
– they can't get out of their own way.
They can't get out of their own way. I mean, and if you think about the NFL and the way the NFL is produced, the way it's out there, Matthew Stafford is the best quarterback in this division. He is also the highest paid NFL player in the league.
In the division right now.
Well, he's the highest paid in the league.
But he's not the best quarterback overall.
He should be the best quarterback.
Oh, he should be.
In this division.
But you and I should be paid a lot more, too.
Well, he's got way more talent. Yeah, we can talk to Tom about that. But he's got way more talent than Case Keenum.
Right.
And they are, to me, totally are underachieving. But the Lions are the Lions. But I think they can make a run. I mean, they had a tough time with Cleveland yesterday. I think they were behind that game. Stafford leads them back. Stafford's problem is that he's on my list. Now, I got about 15, 20 quarterbacks on the list that he's guaranteed to give you three picks every game. That's kind of been his MO.
He's kind of the new NFC North version of Jay Cutler. He's always going to give you a
couple.
I
would agree with that.
Yeah.
All right, but Jay Cutler's even worse than that. But, yeah, I agree with that.
Eight.
Got some claps on that? You got a little clap.
We went a little bit long in the last segment, so we wanted to take a quick break. But I want to also let you know that if you want to get registered for a weekend up here, you want to play 18 holes of golf, whether it's the Straits or the Meadow Valleys, Black Wolf Run, whatever.
Look cold right now, though.
This is time to book then.
Okay.
When nobody else is thinking about it.
Right.
But if you want to get registered to win this, registered by using the visiting the Horse and Plow Huddle Facebook page. All you have to do is go to Horse and Plow Huddle on Facebook, HP Huddle on Facebook, and like them there. Sign up. It's all right there for you. You can track it down. And we would love to send you up here to, not us, but Lammy Group would love to send you up here to Kohler for the weekend, bring you in and show you and treat you like a king. I mean, this place is fantastic. Also, we want to say thanks to our friends from Hupie and Abraham. We're going to hear the Hupie and Abraham good drive of the game coming up here back from break, one of the fine sponsors of this program. And also our great friends from Lexus of Brookfield and Lexus of Milwaukee who bring you the program as well. And go see Joe Pomisano and the crew over at Lexus of Brookfield. They do great jobs. Blaine's Farm and Fleet and Weather Dash, TEK Windows and Doors. When we come back, how far can this team go? We'll answer that question because it depends on one very big key. Stick around. We've got more of the Horse and Plow Huddle right after this. Welcome back. It is the Horse and Plow Huddle. We are broadcasting live here from the Horse and Plow in beautiful, the beautiful American Club here in Kohler, Wisconsin. And we hope to have you as a face in the crowd out here sometime real soon because this place, first of all, the show itself is just a joy to do. It's a lot of fun. But to see a lot of people, a lot of Packers fans, a lot of people hanging out to see whether it's Devontae or Jeff Janis, who we had up here earlier. We've had Geronimo Allison here. We've had Aaron Jones is here. We've had a lot of these guys
here.
It's been a lot of fun to do. And a lot of fun to get the chance to get an hour and spend some time with these guys, even though Devontae had to take off a little early today. Speaking of Devontae, he brings you the Hupie and Abraham good drive of the game. Hupie and Abraham remind you never to text and drive, and the drive of the game was culminated by this.
Stays in the game to the left of Hundley. He's in there. And Hundley now rolling right, looking, throws, back shoulder in the corner. And it is a touchdown for Devontae Adams. That was an Aaron Rodgers-like throw there by Hundley.
There you go. That was an Aaron Rodgers-like throw by Hundley. Tom Brenneman on the call from Fox Sports, and that is the Hupie and Abraham drive of the game. Again, Hupie and Abraham reminds you never to text in drive. Time now on the program to take the Jordy Nelson spotlight. That is brought to you by Bell & Health. And Jordy Nelson talked about this ball game in the sense that, first of all, he felt what his team needed to do properly coming into the game, which then ultimately led to the win.
I think we just played. We made plays. I think the running game was great. Offensive line did a good job all day. Ty had the big long touchdown, but for the most part, it was just some pounding football, 4 or 5 yards at a time. And so I think that made a difference. It allowed us to get some first downs. We converted on some third downs. And I've said for years, every time we get first downs, it helps you get in a rhythm. And I mean, that's obviously how you're going to be productive.
And then Jordy went on to talk about how Hundley has gotten better on those third down plays.
I think he's doing what he's asked to do. He's going through his progressions. He's reading the coverages and reading his keys. And some of these routes are going to be shorter and we expect us to catch it and make the play. Some of them might be pressure and you have to get it out just based off protection. So there's a lot that goes into a play that you can't just say that he's throwing it short just to be safe. There's a lot that goes on. And but we are, us guys on the outside, believe if we get the ball in our hands, we'll be able to convert that.
The big number on third down, that is a Jordy Nelson spotlight, but the big number on third down, 7 of 16, 44% were the Packers yesterday. They were also one-on-one in conversions on fourth down, so 8 of 17 yesterday puts them up at about 47%. And anytime you convert on third down and keep the drive alive and keep their defense on the field, that is fantastic. I go to the opposite side of the spectrum, 4 of 14 on third down and 0 for 1 on fourth down. The Bears were yesterday, giving them a whopping 26.6%. on third and fourth down combined. And when your defense can get off the field, that's a big day, Gary, as well.
No, and I think that's what you're really looking for, your defense to get some stops. And I think, if I can recollect, maybe they had about 4 or 5 punts in this game, maybe 6. I think they had 6 punts in this game where they forced Chicago to punt the ball 6 times. And I think that's what you want. I mean, if you're looking at 6 punts, that means that you're giving the football back to your offense and they can get an extra possession. Most times I say with Dom Capers' defense, this is a little light, But most time I like for Dom Capers' defense, if they're not playing well, Ryder's not playing well, they need to get at least 4 punts. They need to force at least 4 punts, one per quarter. And that gives Aaron Rodgers but with Huntley, I think he's a guy that you've got to force him to punt more often because they need more chances to score because he's still learning and understanding the offense, and he needs more opportunities to score. And obviously, Bill, the more opportunities that you have, it's almost like Ted Thompson's philosophy in drafting. He loves to have like 30 draft picks. Out of 30 draft picks, he hopes to hit
on 4 or 5.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Right.
Get one Pro Bowler. That's all I'm asking. Give me a Pro Bowler a year. That's all I'm asking.
Because that's how that flows. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You would hope more than that, but the more opportunities you get, the better off you're going
to
hit one.
Jordy Nelson and his spotlight is also brought to you by Weather-TEK. That's Weather-TEK doors and windows. We were talking about if this team can reach the postseason. I'm not saying Super Bowl. I'm not saying winning the division. I'm just saying get to the postseason.
Right.
The schedule becomes favorable. They've got, Baltimore coming in this week, and that's a beatable team. They have not looked very good this season, even though they are still kind of hanging tough in that AFC North. But it also gets very tough for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota doesn't have an easy road. I was erroneous. They've already had their bye week.
Right.
They've got L.A., the Rams coming to town. And then they've got to turn it back around because, remember, on Thanksgiving they play Detroit.
Right.
Then they got that 10 days. Then they go to Atlanta before going on the road again to face Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
3 games in a row on the road, which is unheard of, like you said, in the NFL today.
Never heard of that.
So the schedule becomes very difficult for them. If the Packers can somewhat take advantage, then you could be looking at a situation in which the Green Bay Packers can just scrape and claw and kind of get back into this thing. I'm not saying win the division, but at least with their schedule, maybe do enough to make it competitive, and secondly, maybe do enough to get themselves a wild card.
No, you're right. I think when you look at long-term for the Green Bay Packers, I think it's more about, if you can get there. And so more certainly you got Baltimore up. I mean, that's a win that you like to get. I mean, there were 3 wins that you thought that you can get with Huntley, and one – you took care of it in Chicago, although you were underdog. The second one is obviously Baltimore. The third one is Cleveland. So now you've got to figure out how to get 2 more wins somewhere in there. I think, and I had thought maybe 9-7 wins this division. And now, but you look at Minnesota, they've kind of jumped out there a little bit. But I thought 9-7 to get you a win. And if that happens, then you try to figure out if Aaron Rodgers is healthy enough to get you to put you. Listen, Bill. If you look at the NFC right now, I'm not buying New Orleans. The Saints are not what they were back when they were winning.
Right. Well, they were nasty defense, too.
They're better, but they're not that. I mean, and I don't know, just something about me. I'm not buying Philadelphia. I got jokers talking about whether there's – who's that quarterback? What's his name over in Philadelphia? Wentz.
They're talking about
Carson Wentz as Brett Favre. Carson Wentz is no close to being Brett Favre. So those teams, to me, are beatable. I had liked the Dallas Cowboys coming up to this week, but they lose Ezekiel Elliott. They lost Ezekiel Elliott. They lose their starting left tackle. Let's see what they do. Not so good.
There is one thing I think that this team – we do a segment on my show called Buy or Sell.
Okay.
When we come back, there's one thing on this team I think needs to happen, and I'm going to ask you, buying it or selling it, when we come back.
Bill, I went to Wisconsin. Sometimes that buy and sell confuses me. Just saying. I hear you do that all the time. I got a degree, but that buy and sell. Let's try it out.
I'm going to say, are you buying
right.
it? There's one question.
All right.
It's one question, Cap.
All right.
We'll buy or sell it when we come
right.
back.
Let's
Stick around. We are broadcasting live with the American Club here in Kohler. We'll be all back right. after this. Welcome back. It's the Horse and Plow Huddle. We are broadcasting live at the American Club in Kohler, Wisconsin. That's where you can find us. Gary Ellerson, my partner for the Green and Gold postgame show, and the former Packer and Badger alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. And we'll get to all the sponsors and all the reads, but I know we got to pay the bills. But we're going to do buy or sell.
All right.
So my question when it comes to the buy or sell side of things, Gary, and I know you said that it's tough to figure this out.
Yeah.
But yesterday we saw the Green Bay Packers defensively shut down the Chicago Bears.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Mitch Trubisky threw for over 300 yards and had a decent day. Wasn't great, but they're predictable. They run the ball. They stuffed the run, but 5 sacks. Mike Daniels took it upon himself to say they got tired of hearing everybody say they suck and that they want to change the way they play.
Okay.
Buy or sell?
buy or sell.
Thank you very much. They're going to play this way the remainder of the season.
So, Bill, I don't know if you've ever been
here we
to,
go.
I don't know if you've ever been to like a clothing store.
Every now and then.
Where you walk down the aisle and you look at the price, you pick it up, you put it in your cart, then you walk back, you put it back, and then you walk back again, you pick it up, you put it back in your cart.
Every now and then.
And then you walk back. I do that a lot.
I can see you doing that.
I'm average on that.
You're usually looking around for a coupon.
Right. I don't know if I can right. I don't know if I can buy or sell on either one of those. I think the Green Bay Packers defense, they have holes. I mean, their corners are not what I would like for them to be. You've got one guy who's your first pick in Kevin King who's playing with a bat. I think he's going to need surgery after the end of the year. I think he's got a torn labrum, which Martell's been refused to play with. But I think he's got a torn labrum. He's going to need work. I think Devon House is not Devon House, what we're seeing. I think he's got injury problems. You don't have Morgan Burnett. I like Josh Jones. Clinton Dix is not even playing up to the level that he played last year. Your defensive line, Mike Daniels, I like a lot, but he's not Reggie White. I mean,
Kenny Clark's gotten better.
Yeah, but he.
I agree with you.
I take B.J. Raji over Clark right now today, or Pickett.
If Raji was in shape,
let me have him.
Yeah, he had a little bit bigger size, quicker feet.
So it's a situation with their defense. Where I think they can play well as a group, they're okay, but they don't have a whole lot there. Let's say if they're going to go play New England or if they're going to go play, I think they can handle Minnesota, but if they're going to go play a team that can really get them spread out and do some certain things to them, I think New Orleans will give them a tough go. There are just certain teams that they just can't.
Because Detroit didn't beat them up.
No.
Detroit
no.
didn't even play that well.
But here's the thing. They got no pressure on Matthew Stafford, and he just stood there the whole game.
And they blitzed him.
Right.
They blitzed him like crazy.
And Clay Matthews is not Clay Matthews of old.
Yesterday we saw, for the first time I saw Clay Matthews bring a ball carrier down from behind.
Right. But he's not that same step. So they got they're back to where they were with Aaron Rodgers. This offense got to score points. They got to get up on people. That makes that defense better. I don't know if I can buy or sell them. I think they probably played the best football that they can play against Chicago. I think it's a game-by-game decision. I think they can play well against Baltimore. How about that?
I would agree with that. I think they can play well against
Baltimore. Because Baltimore don't press them as much.
We were talking about this earlier. We said, okay, who are they favored against? Baltimore?
They should be favored against Baltimore.
Should be favored? Pittsburgh? I don't think so.
They can't. I don't see Pittsburgh. I mean, that
Pittsburgh's
jerk,
got way too many weapons.
That jerk on the outside out there, they got nobody.
Antonio Brown.
They got nobody.
Anybody can cover that cat.
And Le'Veon Bell, who's stopping him?
Tampa Bay is reeling.
They're done.
Every time I believe in Tampa Bay, they suck swamp water.
They're done.
Cleveland, they're the bottom.
They should get Cleveland.
Carolina.
They're a tricky team. And the reason why they're so up and down, it all depends what Cam Newton feels like. Cam Newton feels like playing, they're in trouble. If Cam Newton feels like he don't feel like playing, then they can beat him.
And then you've got, after that, Minnesota and Detroit. Detroit's in Detroit.
So Minnesota's going to probably be the most physical team that they're going to play out the duration of
right.
the year. They're going to need all the
bodies.
That's
the Christmas game.
They're going to need all the bodies they can get.
So the way we look at it, if it's a wash, and just to say they get the wash games, they get Baltimore.
They can beat Baltimore.
They get Tampa Bay.
They can beat Cleveland. That's three.
That puts them at eight wins right there.
Yeah, they can get that.
Which means they have to steal one more.
Yeah.
Nine wins may get you
and
in.
And they can get Cam Newton in them.
And then the hope begins where if by chance
Rodgers,
he can come back, just get there.
I got a whole situation on Rodgers, though, Bill. I don't know. I'm going to give you my gut feeling. I don't know if I want Rodgers back if he's not 100%.
That's another debate for another day. It has been a pleasure as always. Thanks to everybody in the crowd. Thanks to Devontae Adams. By the way, if you want a Packer at your party, check out our friends at Lammy Sports. Go to lammysports.com. That's lammysports.com. Call them 414-727-3600. Follow us on Facebook at HP Huddle. Follow us on Instagram at Horseplow Huddle and on Twitter at Horseplow Huddle. Time to go. For Gary Ellison, I'm Bill Michaels. Have a good night.
See you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.